Worship you. Pray, Lord, that you'll just touch your word to our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. My subject this morning is that God can use you.
Yes.
Do you know that this morning?
Amen.
That God can use you. In most news agents, you can buy what they call a DIY magazine. A DIY magazine tells you what you can do, but what it doesn't tell you is what you can't do. It'll tell you many things that you can do, but it will never tell you what you can't do. For instance, it won't tell you that you can fly. It won't tell you that you can add 1 centimeter or 1 inch to your height. So there is so many, many things that we cannot do. But I want to tell you this morning that there is nothing that God cannot do. Because God can use you to accomplish great things. There are some instances in the Bible that I want us to consider that will show to us that with God, nothing is impossible. There are things outside God that are impossible. But there are things in God that are always possible. With God, all things present to us the possibility of something being accomplished. And I want us to observe something about Elijah this morning that I believe will inspire us to take action in following God's commands, so that after his commands and his communication to us, then we will be able to do the things that are possible in him. For the Lord always indicates to us, you do what's possible and leave the impossible to me.
Yeah.
So there are things that you can do. I want us to observe something about Elijah this morning, as I say. Because with God, looking at the life of Elijah, you will see that everything is possible. Mm-hmm. Now I want us, first of all, to take a look at what, number one, God can use your step of faith to work a miracle.
Amen.
God can use your step of faith to work a miracle. The Lord told Elijah that he was to go to a widow woman of Zarephath who was to feed him during the drought. You see, he had proved the Lord was right when the Lord instructed him to declare a drought over the land and that he was to go to a certain place which was a brook called Cherith, which means separation, a place that is cut off. And Elijah cuts himself off and he goes to this brook Cherith, where the Lord told him, you go there because I have commanded ravens to feed you. And whilst he is there, he feeds on the food that the ravens have brought to him and drinks of the water of the brook. But then, because of the drought, suddenly the brook dries up. He took a step of faith when he went to the brook, and now the brook has dried up. The Lord then instructs him to go to a widow woman of Zarephath because he has prepared this woman to feed him. She will sustain you. And what Elijah does, he takes another step of faith. And in taking this step of faith, he approaches the city and he meets a widow who was gathering sticks. And he says to this widow woman, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he shouts at her again. And he says, this time, he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And the widow confesses something which is really tragic. She confesses that she's only got a handful of meal in the bottom of a barrel. And all I've got is, besides that, is a little oil in a cruse. And Elijah says to her, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And this is what she says. She said to Elijah, I'm going home now to just prepare a meal for me and my son, because it's the last we've got before we die. And Elijah, this great man of God, this prophet of God, who is open to the Spirit of God, steps out again in faith. And he makes this step of faith, and he says to the woman, he says, you and your son will never ever run out of meal or oil until I say it rains.
Amen.
He says to her, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. All she had was a little tiny bit in the bottom of a barrel. And she makes him a cake. And what Elijah says to her, that there'll always be something in the bottom of the barrel and the oil for you to take. And I want to tell you this morning that we have a God who can turn a little into a lot. And that is exactly what happens in the case of Elijah. Because this woman, all she had was a small amount of meal, a handful in the bottom of a barrel. And the amazing thing is that God turns that little into a lot. And the barrel becomes bottomless. Because constantly she's able to draw from the bottom of the barrel, and a miracle happens. And that's the miracle of stepping out in faith. Because if you step out in faith, God can turn a little into a lot. Now, God uses steps of faith. And the step of faith Elijah had taken resulted in this wonderful miracle that had happened. And we read in Scripture of different times and occasions where we discover people stepping out in faith and God working a miracle. For instance, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of a certain woman, a widow again, who was a widow of one of the prophets. And this widow woman says to the prophet Elisha, you know something, all as I've got in my house is a little drop of oil, and the debtors are coming to take away my sons. What are you going to do about it? I'm the widow of a prophet. What are you going to do about my situation? And Elisha takes a step of faith. And he says to the woman, go into a room, get as many empty pots and pans and bowls as you possibly can. And out of that little jar of oil that you've got, begin to pour into those other vessels. And as she begins to pour into those other vessels, every single vessel was filled, because we have a God who can make a little into a lot. And that's what happens in the case of Elisha. And there came a moment when the woman says, there isn't another vessel. And she says, bring me another vessel. And the oil stayed. And the oil stayed in that jar to continually sustain this widow woman. And so that's the miracle, you see, of stepping out in faith. Because God will always honor any individual who steps out in faith. And you can, with God's help, work a miracle by taking a step of faith. Then we read in the New Testament of a certain boy. And I love this scripture. I love this scripture because the Bible says there's a lad here. There's a lad here. And all this lad had in his hands were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, those loaves aren't the type we buy out of the supermarket that's on the shelf. They were like little baps. And his mother had given him enough baps to feed him whilst he was away listening to what Jesus had to say. And he was among a crowd of 5,000 people. And Jesus speaks to the disciples and he said, you know, we've got to do something about this this group of people here. They haven't had any food.
No.
They're in danger of fainting. They're in danger of passing away because of the heat. And the disciples come to him and said, there's a lad here. There's a lad here. What have you got in your hand? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And what happens is this, that because the disciples stepped out in faith and took this boy to Jesus, he turns the little into a lot.
Yeah.
And 5,000 people besides women and children were fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. Don't we have a wonderful miracle working God?
Amen.
And let me tell you that God can use you if you step out in faith to work a miracle. So in the New Testament, there is so much that we can understand about miracles that happened when people stepped out in faith. The first president of our apostolic church, which is what we are at CLC, he said this, a boy with a basket can do wonders when God is in it.
Amen.
A boy with a basket can do wonders when God is in it.
Amen.
And I want to tell you this morning that when God inspires you to take a step of faith, he's in it. And because he's in it, you will win it. And he will change a little into a lot. The disciples then took a step of faith when Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promised Holy Spirit. Yes, 120 in an upper room took a step of faith when Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. And the 120 went into that upper room and they waited until the Holy Spirit came, and a miracle happens. Because that little 120, by the end of chapter 2, turns into 3,000. So isn't God marvelous how he can take a little and turn it into a lot? Now we as a congregation here in Wolverhampton are perhaps small in comparison to some of the other churches that are in existence in our city. But let me tell you this morning that by us taking our steps of faith and believing in a miracle working God, God can turn our whatever number we are here into a bigger number, because he's a miracle working God.
Amen.
So 120 are turned into a mega church because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because the disciples stepped out in faith, obeyed Jesus, and went and tarried and waited for the Holy Spirit. Yes, God can use your step of faith to work a miracle. Believe it this morning, because it's true. The second thing is this, that God can use your seed of faith to remove mountains. God can use your seed of faith to remove mountains. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here or to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So here we are. There are times when every single one of us will face a mountain of some kind or another.
Yeah.
A mountain is something that's in front of you that seemingly to you is impossible to get over. It could be a difficult relationship with someone. It could be a matrimonial difficulty. It could be a financial one. It can even be a moral problem. It could be a problem where you work. Whatever is an obstacle in front of you, I want to tell you, is a mountain. And by taking this step of faith, God can use your step of faith to work a miracle, because you are sowing the seed of your faith. So God can not only use a step of faith, he can use a seed of faith. If we do our part, God will always do his part. And God can use your seed of faith to remove your mountain, however large it is, however big it is. God can work a miracle by you at this moment using your seed of faith to remove that mountain. You see, however difficult things might be, God is able to use you to sow the seed of faith to remove that mountain. You see, for a seed of faith to be sown, it necessitates taking action. And our part is to sow the seed of faith, take the action against the mountain by believing in a miracle working God. So you sow your seed of faith by believing in a miracle working God, by implementing what the Word of God says, because implementing what the Word of God says is sowing the seed of faith. And when you sow the seed of faith will grow, and you'll get stronger, and you'll be able to overcome the highest mountain, however high it might be. God can use your step of faith to work a miracle. God can use your seed of faith to remove your mountain. So whatever your mountain is in front of you this morning, however difficult you might think it is at this moment, and you don't seem to be able to see beyond that mountain because it's in front of you and it's a difficulty that you can't get over, I want to tell you this morning that by you taking a step and sowing the seed of faith in God, in his ability to be able to do anything that's possible, he will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles. And with your God, you'll be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. You'll be able to surmount the highest mountain, and you'll be able to see what is beyond. Beyond the mountain. And that's what we're after. Yeah. To see beyond the mountain, however difficult it might be. But we need to sow seeds of faith. And if we do that, God will work the miracle. So in this subject this morning, that God can use you. God can use you to do something that you never thought was possible, because he's a miracle working God. Amen. The third thing is this: God can use your stone of faith to destroy your giant. Not only can God use your step of faith to work a miracle, not only can God use your seed of faith to remove your mountain, but God can use your stone of faith to destroy the giant. In 1 Samuel 16, we read a wonderful story about David that slew the giant Goliath. I love this because when David first saw the giant Goliath, his brothers were afraid. The whole army of Israel were afraid. And David said, "Don't lose heart because of this uncircumcised Philistine." You see, there are giants we have in our lives and we lose heart. And we feel like giving up. And Israel was like that. They felt like totally giving up, running away from the giant. "Let the Philistines overtake us. There's nothing we can do about it. We've lost heart. We've lost faith. We've lost everything." And here's a youth. He's only young. They reckon he's about 17. And they reckon he was ginger-haired as well. He was ruddy. But here he is, a 17-year-old, and he's looking at this giant. And in his heart he says, "My God can destroy you with anything." And he said, "Don't lose heart because of this uncircumcised Philistine." And so David is faced with this giant Goliath. Now, they reckon that his height was 3 meters, which is about 9 foot 9. If you're like me, you use feet and inches. Because most children today use meters, centimeters, and all these other meters. But how wonderful it is, when you think about it, David's looking at this man. He's about 17 years of age, only a wee fellow. He's looking at this giant of a man who's 9 foot 9, and Israel's running away. They reckon that his spear was like a weaver's beam. David was only small in comparison to Goliath. The giant approached Israel clothed with his full armor on. And I don't know if you've ever noticed in the scripture, but it says about the giant having his full armor on, and his armor bearers went in front of him. You wouldn't have thought that a man who was 9 foot 9 tall would want armor bearers in front of him, would you? But that shows you that inside he was a weakling. So he's protected by these men in front of him. But as the giant approached Israel, clothed with his full armor on, David approached him with a sling and a stone. He chose 5 stones out of a brook, put them in his little pouch that he carried around his waist, and he had what they call a sling. Now, when we were boys, we used to have one of these slings. We used to have a piece of string with a piece of leather in the middle, and we used to put a stone in, and we used to twist it round, and then we'd let one end go, and the stone would go. And that's exactly what David did. So David chooses these stones, but he only uses one stone. You see, God only needs one stone of faith to destroy a giant. He doesn't need 5. He only needs 1. And so this is what David says: "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Then David put his hand in his back, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the giant in his forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead and he fell to the earth and he was dead. David prevailed over the Philistine with a stone and a sling. What was this stone? This stone was a stone of faith, because David believed that by using that one stone that he was going to throw at that giant Goliath, God was going to destroy the giant. And he did. So listen, people can use you, providing you use your stone of faith to destroy your giant. Now, similar to mountains, there are times when we have a giant we have to overcome. There are times when we all have giants in our lives and we have to overcome them. There is the giant of doubt. Who doesn't suffer from doubt? I think everybody at some time or another experiences doubt of one sort or another. There is the giant of despondency. And there are times when every one of us gets despondent. There is the giant of sadness, dissatisfaction, the giant of uncertainty, wondering about the future. God can use your stone of faith to destroy your giant and to make you victorious. I believe that this morning with all of my heart, that God can use you when you take a step of faith, when you sow a seed of faith, and when you use the stone of faith. Miracles happen because we have a miracle working God. So isn't God good? He is good, and his mercy endures forever. So listen this morning, going away from this church, you're going away this morning Because you believe that God can use you.
Yes.
That God can use you by taking a step of faith to work a miracle.
Amen.
That God can use you by you sowing a seed of faith to remove a mountain. And God can use you by you using your stone of faith to destroy your giant, however big that giant might be. I want to tell you, we have a wonderful, miracle-working God.
Amen.
So God proved to Elijah that he's able to do a lot with a little. He proved to Elisha that he could do a lot with a little. He proved to the disciples with the boy with the loaves and fishes that he can do a lot with a little. And let me tell you this morning, you might feel that you are insignificant in this world. You might feel that you are a nobody. But let me tell you that God can use you to do great things in his name.
Amen.
Who would have thought that when Billy Graham accepted Jesus as his savior into his life as a young man, that he would have reached millions and millions and millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because he took that step of faith to receiving Jesus into his life.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet received Jesus Christ into their life. And you want to receive Jesus into your life, you can do it this morning. And who knows what God can do for you. There's a lad here. And my, how God used what that lad in his hands. Moses had a rod in his hand. And how God used that rod to accomplish great things. And God can use you by you stepping out in faith and believing that he is a miracle working God. Remember, God can. And God can use you to accomplish his will and his purpose.
Yeah,
so let us pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, this morning for being able to share your word. Thank you, Lord, being able to just express